Forget the Cold War. Spy versus spy seems to be alive and well these days, only it's Iran versus the U.S. and Israel, according to the conspiracy theorists, not so much the Soviets or China. Consider this scene in Tehran yesterday morning. A motorcycle weaves its way through the morning rush hour traffic, slowing down as it pulls up alongside its target, a car carrying an Iranian nuclear scientist. The motorcycle driver attaches a magnetic bomb and speeds away as an explosion rips the car apart. He was at least the fifth Iranian scientist with nuclear connections to be murdered since 2007. The Iranian government blamed the U.S., or maybe it was key U.S. ally Israel. And what's going on here? Joining us now, Scott Shane, Washington reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, John.
There is a pattern of attacks against Iranian nuclear installations and nuclear personnel. Do you think the dots all connect?
Well, you know, this is obviously the subject of a great deal of speculation. Most of the people that I talk to believe that most of this activity, at least the violent part, is probably being carried out by Israel. There's a little bit of a debate about what the U.S. role is. U.S. officials tend to indicate that we don't have any role in the lethal actions, but it's quite clear that the U.S. has been involved in cyber attacks, sabotage, and perhaps in encouraging Iranian scientists to defect to the West.
Well, listen to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who possibly plays this semantic game that you're talking about. And I use the game not as a pejorative. But listen to what Hillary Clinton said in responding to allegations that the U.S. might have been involved in this motorcycle attack.
I want to categorically deny any United States involvement in any kind of act of violence inside Iran.
Act of violence inside Iran? Is that the key piece of that phrase there?
I think so. I mean, what's interesting about that is in the past, when these scientists have been killed, usually in this same manner, using these magnetic bombs and guys on motorcycles, the U.S. has issued sort of mild condemnation, but very generic condemnation. And the State Department spokesman earlier yesterday said something along those lines, you know, we regret or we condemn any violence in which innocent people are killed. But it was very generic. And then both the White House and then Secretary of State Clinton put out much stronger statements, for the first time very clearly, as she says, categorically denying the U.S. had any role, because often people have speculated that perhaps the U.S. supplies intelligence to Israel for these attacks, and condemning it much more strongly. You know, I had a sense that perhaps the U.S. officials are getting nervous about the aggressiveness of this campaign, if it is indeed carried out by Israel, and what its sort of long-term implications might be.
Well, there are two questions. One is the sort of specific intelligence question of, are the U.S. and Israel working together in some way, or is this just a kind of coincidence of interests on part of the Iranian nuclear program? But then there's the political fallout inside Iran, and I've spent a good amount of time in Iran. I believe you have as well. I mean, the conspiracy theories in Iran are over the top. And I can recall talking to an Iranian who claimed to me that Ayatollah Khomeini had to be a CIA agent because of all the damage he did inside of Iran. So even a small detail can have huge repercussions inside Iran. What do we make of that?
Well, I think you raise a very good question. And I must say that there are some dissenting voices on this notion that this is carried out by, that these attacks are carried out by Israel. I spoke with Karim Sajapour of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace yesterday. He's, very respected, very level-headed guy, and he's skeptical that all these attacks are coming from Israel, and in fact believes an alternate theory, which is that the Iranian regime itself is bumping off at least some of these scientists, perhaps all of them, because they are suspected perhaps of collaborating with the West, perhaps they've refused to do certain things in the nuclear program, perhaps they're too close to the Iranian opposition. He pointed out that most of these scientists who've been killed have not been very high ranking. I mean, they've been, you know, players, but not at the very top, and that therefore you wouldn't think that taking them out would do critical damage to the program. The problem with this is that with so many, as you say, spy versus spy stories, we're sort of speculating on the basis of, you know, little bits and pieces of information, and it's very hard to get to the truth.
But in a sense, if these lower-level operatives are possibly not as valuable as Iran is suggesting, then it does create an argument that maybe Iran is doing it, and that this explanation for another scientist who was assassinated outside his home 2 years ago on Iranian television possibly even makes your case. Listen.
Our findings show that Mossad was using some bases in European and non-European countries, as well as some neighboring countries, to realize their anti-Iranian, anti-humanity objectives and to carry out the cowardly assassination of Dr. Massoud Ali Mohammadi.
It's another thing to blame on Israel, so it's in their interest to have these kinds of things happen.
Exactly. I mean, Israel is certainly handy scapegoat for anything that the Iranian authorities want to do. But there really is uncertainty. I must say that the American officials I've spoken with, and one former Israeli official I spoke to for this story, did not, you know, I got the general impression, while they didn't explicitly say, yes, Israel's behind all of these specific attacks, I got the impression that there's sort of a consensus that it is the work of Israel.
Interesting. All right, we'll explore that a little bit more. Our conversation with Scott Shane, Washington reporter for our partner, The New York Times, continues. Thanks, Scott. Talking about the possibility of a coordinated international effort to derail Iran's nuclear program using secret agents, possibly out of Iran. Scott Shane, Washington reporter for our partner, The New York Times, is with us. Two more questions, Scott, in this segment before we go. Number one, being reminded of the Osama bin Laden raid, where the question of whether to go in and the timing, you know, is complicated by the nature of the U.S.-Pakistani relationship. Thinking about the U.S. and Israel now, would there under any circumstances be a kind of green light issue that the U.S. would get some sort of right to say, no, we don't want you to do that in any situation like this? Or in your experience, would that be absolutely never the case?
Well, you know, I would just be guessing, but I think, you know, Israel has made it clear, Israeli officials have certainly made it clear that they see the possibility that Iran will build a nuclear bomb as an existential issue, as a very critical issue, probably the biggest threat that Israel faces. And so, you know, my guess would be that while Israel is, you know, obviously a close ally of the United States and the intelligence services talk all the time, officials talk all the time, that Israel would make its own decisions on Iran,
right?
And you know, sometimes over American objections.
Let's look at the other side of this, and that is the possibility that Iran is trying to organize its own sort of pushback against enemies of its own. Here's Vice President Joe Biden after an alleged Iranian plot to kill the Saudi ambassador. He spoke back in October.
It is an outrageous act that where the Iranians are going to have to be held accountable. And the first thing we're doing is make sure the entire world and all the capitals of the world understand exactly what the Iranians had in mind.
You know, we mentioned spy versus spy in the beginning of our conversation here. I mean, is it the case that a possibly organized effort to shut down Iran is matched by an organized spy effort on the part of the Iranians, perhaps not as sophisticated, around the world to assassinate its enemies?
Well, Iran, since the Islamic regime took power in 1979, has actually had a long history of assassinating its opponents, usually Iranian opposition figures, overseas, on quite a number in Europe, one outside Washington. And so this episode with the alleged plot against the Saudi ambassador was, you know, as part of a long history. So, you know, and we also have to remember Iran's history of taking hostages, including this American, Mr.
Hekmati.
Hekmati, yep. Yeah, former military guy who, by his account, was visiting his grandmother. He's Iranian-American, visiting his grandmother, and was grabbed and accused, put on TV, and accused of being a CIA spy, which officials, American officials say is completely wrong.
A takeaway here then, Scott Shane, before we go, would you say that this Iranian, this focus on Iran in the intelligence community is a main focus, as important as the Iranian nuclear program is for the U.S. intelligence services, or something of a sideshow?
No, it's right in the center of what our intelligence agencies and certainly Israel are thinking about right now. And the big question is whether a sabotage campaign like this, a covert campaign, might delay Iran's nuclear program perhaps as much as an outright military strike.
Scott Shane, Washington reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.